I don't need that anymore. Take your Bibles, please. And you can go to Leviticus chapter 25. But before I get there, I'm going to go into an introduction here. So, of course, this week is the 247th anniversary of our country. And Americans in every city will be celebrating liberty, the liberty we have in this nation. And I know our liberties are going away, but we still have liberty. For one thing, we are here today. Many, 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 many nations could not do what we're doing right now. So we praise God for the liberty, religious liberty we have in America still. But liberty, we want to talk about lasting liberty this morning. Liberty is a wonderful condition that has been sought for, yearned for, fought for, and died for ever since that terrible day in the Garden of Eden when man fell. Liberty, it's what every man and every woman who has ever lived either desires or believes they are enjoying. Liberty. Americans are going to be celebrating our liberty. Is liberty what made America a great nation? Most people would claim that to be the truth, wouldn't they? But where did our liberty come from? What caused our liberty? Out of all the nations and civilizations that the world has seen come and go, start up and unfold, what was the difference with America? What caused liberty to be here in America? What really, really was the cause that made America great? And liberty was the effect, not the cause. Liberty was the effect. The source of America's greatness was also the source of Great Britain's greatness many years ago. When England was at the zenith of its power, and the phrase, "the sun never sets on the British Empire," when that was true back in the 1800s, the monarch of England, Queen Victoria, was asked by an African ambassador from East Africa how Britain had become so powerful in the world. Queen Victoria answered by handing him a Bible and said, "Tell the prince that this is the secret of England's greatness." This is the secret of England's greatness. This is also the truth for America, for the United States. The Word of God is the secret of America's greatness. The fact that America was established definitively on the Bible, definitively on God's Word, definitively on the principles found in God's Word, that caused America to be a nation of liberty. The Bible is the secret of America's greatness. It's the cause of the effect, liberty in America. And that's what made our nation great. God's Word, the Bible. The Bible's principles, the Bible's teachings. And this great truth is mentioned in the Bible. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, you don't have to turn there, but 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." There is liberty. And so God just kept His Word when America became a nation of liberty. We founded our nation on the Bible, and God said, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's going to be liberty." And God kept His Word with our nation. Our Lord Jesus Himself, when preaching about His ministry at Nazareth, quoted Isaiah 61:1. Isaiah 61:1 says this, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. The ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ is one of liberty. The cause and effect of Jesus Christ is liberty. Liberty. What is liberty? What is liberty? Go to Leviticus 25 now, verse 10. What is liberty? Most people would give a definition for liberty like this verse talks about. Leviticus 25, verse 10. And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. Freedom to possess land, freedom to be to possess your own body, to own your own person. Not like slavery, of course. That's what most people would say liberty is. They would probably, to describe liberty, that they may quote the preamble to the U.S. Constitution. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's what liberty is. I have my own life, it's mine, and I have the liberty to pursue happiness in whatever way I see fit. They might quote that. But is that lasting liberty? Today I want to look at three levels of liberty, or three types of liberty, and see which type of liberty is the best and the most lasting. Go with me to John chapter 8, please. John chapter 8. Lasting liberty. Let's pray before we get into this. John chapter 8 is where we're going. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. And Lord, if there is one here today that does not have lasting liberty, would you please speak to that heart and help them to turn to Jesus Christ today? Please help us all to understand this, Lord. I pray for those who are watching online, that they would understand and apply it to themselves too. In Jesus' name, amen. Lasting liberty. What is lasting liberty? Three types of liberty that I can think of. There's probably a whole lot of sub-levels of liberty. We could probably, you know, break liberty down to about a thousand different sub-levels probably, and still not be done. But anyway, I think there are three basic kinds of liberty in the world today. The first one is talked about in John 8, verse 31. John 8, 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou ye shall be made free? They're talking about personal liberty here. Bodily freedom is the first basic level of liberty. We're not a slave to anybody, the Israelites were saying back to Jesus. I'm not a slave. I'm a free man. Why are you talking about I'm going to be made free, since I'm already a free person? Bodily freedom is the first level of freedom, of liberty. Thankfully, most nations in the world today do not practice slavery. I don't know of anyone off the top of my head that officially practices slavery. They don't officially. Yet there is still slavery in the world. Make no mistake about that. There are still those who have been taken captive by individuals, and those wicked persons mistreat their captives as if they own them like a commodity, or as if they're like cattle. This, we're talking about I don't even want to say the word, but a certain trade. I'm talking about that trade. That trade is one of the very worst of crimes against humanity, of course, but it still exists in this world today. There are innocent people, mostly young women, who are not free. Their freedom has been taken away by force. They have no liberty. There's no liberty there. But bodily freedom is the first stage of personal liberty. To be physically and bodily free. Someone coming out of a prison would know what I'm talking about for sure. They're free. They have some liberty now. And this is where the Pharisees were. They were personally the owners of themselves. They lived in the day and time when there was slavery, and they knew all about slavery. They knew they could go down to the slave market and they could buy a person off of the slave market, off of the slave block there, the auction block, if you will. They knew about slavery in the Bible times. But the Pharisees were saying, hey, I'm not a slave. I am free. So why are you telling me I'll be made free? The Pharisees knew that they were their own person. They could get the job they wanted. They could buy property, land, if they could afford to do so. They had their own money, you see. They had their own money. They had their own lands, their own possessions. They were personally free. They had personal, bodily liberty. Is that the best liberty there is to offer? Well, of course, as those who live in America, we would say, well, absolutely not. That's not the very best liberty there is. Personally, be a free person. Have your own bodily freedom. But those Israelites were not in a free nation, were they? There was another set of liberties that they could have had that they did not have. The Israelites themselves were free men on a personal level, but their nation was in bondage. Their nation was in bondage. It's almost surprising that these Israelites would say this. We were never in bondage to any man. Rome has all of you in bondage. Why are you even arguing this with the Lord Jesus? That's kind of a funny point. But anyway, the nation was in bondage. But they, individually, they were free men. But there are many nations in the world like this today, like Rome, where they allow their citizens to be free, and they give personal freedom. They don't outright claim to be the owners of the citizens' bodies, but that's as far as the freedom goes in that country. North Korea, for instance, China, probably. Both give their people what they say, that you're free people. You have bodily freedom. But the rest of their lives, the rest of the Chinese people's lives, the rest of the North Koreans' lives, is under total governmental control. Those folks must get permission, I believe. And maybe I'm wrong on one of these points. I didn't research this, so this is my supposition, what I believe is true. They must get permission to get certain jobs. They must get permission to move. Permission to buy this or that piece of land. They cannot get onto the World Wide Web. I know that's true. They cannot get onto the World Wide Web. It's not accessible in their country. They can't access any information they want. Their websites are closely monitored and controlled by their governments. Certainly this is not the best liberty there is to offer. We know that in America. And it's not lasting liberty, that's for sure. So that's that. But that's the basic form of liberty, to own your own person. I have liberty. I have some liberty. The second form of liberty would be what America is like. Governmental liberty. Turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Governmental liberty, we could call this another name. We could say this is liberty of conscience. Liberty of conscience. 1 Corinthians 10 talks about liberty of conscience. And this is what we have in America, or at least used to have back when America was founded. 1 Corinthians 10:29, conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? You see, that's why the pilgrims and the dissenters from England fled England and Europe, not just England, but Europe, and came to America in the early 1600s. They were searching for a free land where they could worship God according to their own conscience. They wanted real freedom in this life. Real freedom in this life. They wanted liberty of conscience. And this liberty, the liberty of conscience, is the freedom to follow one's own conscience, but within the law. But within the law. Did you know that there has been no nation on earth that can function if they gave total liberty of conscience to the people, to their citizenship? You have liberty of conscience now. You may do whatever your conscience allows you to do. There's no nation on earth that has ever done that. And they can't. A nation can't do that. It could not continue to function as a nation if they gave liberty of conscience carte blanche to its people. A government cannot operate when every man does that which is right in his own eyes, can it? Jeremiah 17:9 teaches us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? A country cannot give full liberty of conscience. That's why when we sing our song, it said, liberty in law, liberty under law. There are laws we all have to obey. Our conscience must obey those laws. Mark 7:21-22 teaches us, the Lord Jesus said, from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Liberty of conscience would end up looking like all that. Liberty of conscience would end up looking like anarchy in the world. No government could continue to operate without laws. You say, how do you know, Pastor? Ask France right now. Ask France right now how it's working out for their people to follow their own consciences. What's going on in France? Well, an Algerian Muslim boy was shot, and now the Muslim community, which makes up 15% of the nation, 30% in some cities, is rioting all over the nation. They are doing what their consciences want to do. Burning down buildings, burning cars, looting buildings. The police have lost control of the nation in France right now. Rioting, looting, and destruction going on all over the nation, in every city in France, almost in every single town. That is what it looks like if a nation were to give full liberty of conscience. Do what your conscience says you can do. That's okay. You see, all people are sinners by nature. Nations can't operate like that. Left to their own conscience, people can become thieves and murderers. Ask the murderer in prison, did your conscience allow you to murder that person? Yes, it did. Their conscience allowed them to murder that person. Their conscience allowed them to become a murderer. A nation cannot give full liberty of conscience. It must give liberty of conscience within law, at best, within law. The very freest governments of the world, which would have been the very freest in the whole world, early America and 1800s England. Those two would be considered the very best governments of all time. But early America and 1800s England, early United States I'm referring to, the 1800s again, even those still had to have laws that their citizens were required to obey. In the best governments, it's liberty of conscience in law. In law. Is that lasting liberty? Is that the best liberty there is to offer? Is the best liberty, the most lasting liberty there is it what the very best government can do? The very best government. Well, as we can see as Americans from history, it doesn't last forever, does it? Liberty doesn't last forever. We're slowly losing our liberties. Pray for America. Pray for America to turn back to God. Not only are we losing our liberties, but we are losing the moral fabric to our nation. Wrong is right and right is wrong. Lasting liberty. It doesn't last. The very best liberty that a government can offer, a world government, doesn't last forever. But what about as far as individually? Individually. Is old America, old the United States when it was first founded, is that still the best liberty possible on an individual level? Well, so the Americans lived their lives and they had great freedom. They could do what they wanted to do within the law. But where are they now? Where are they now? Well, the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, "And as it is appointed unto men, once to die." Once to die. The very best lasting liberty this world has to offer came to an end, didn't it, individually? At death. At death. America's liberty stopped applying when the American died. And then the Bible says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." The judgment. We're all going to stand before God and be judged. The very best the world has to offer as far as liberty is concerned cannot and does not last. It doesn't last. It has an end. Turn with me to Romans 6, please. Romans chapter 6. We are all going to die one day, no matter what government and how much liberty we have in this life. One day, that liberty, no matter how much or how little, the liberty we have is going to come to an end. Going to come to an end at death. Why? Look at Romans 6:23. "For the wages of sin is death." The wages of sin is death. You and I have purchased our ticket to die already. We purchased our ticket. It's been punched. We're dying. And then after we've died, God's word promises, and then you're judged. And then you're judged. We face a judge. Our liberty is gone. A lot of people say, "Well, I'm just gonna go to heaven." Have you been there? Do you know how it works? How do you know when you die here on earth, you can walk to heaven? You don't know how it works. As far as I know, there's a vast space between earth and heaven. Heaven is high above us. Heaven is the third heaven beyond outer space. Okay? So, yeah, I'm just going to go to heaven. God will just let me in. How do you know it works that way? Have you been there? No. The Bible says the angels will take you somewhere. Well, I'll just talk my angel into taking me to heaven. How are you going to control that angel? What if he decides he's going to obey God, what God said? And he will. He's a lot bigger than you. One angel killed 185,000 people in one night. In the Bible. They're really powerful beings. And as far as I know, they're about 10 feet tall. Because when God said, "Make some cherubims and put them in the temple, make them 10 cubits tall." That's 15 feet tall, by the way. So as far as I know, they're a lot bigger than you and me. How are you going to make that angel do what you want? "I'm just going to go to heaven when I die. God will just let me in." Who are you? Talk about the epitome of self-pride. Oh dear. You haven't been there. You don't know how it works. The Bible tells us what happens after we die. The only record we have of after this life is over is the Word of God. Okay? We have to really assume God knows what He's talking about. He's the only one that's been there. He died. Jesus died. Jesus knows how it works. For a person to assume, "Well, I will just do this after I've died," is the epitome of pride. How dare you think you can do anything after you've died? The Bible teaches us that we lose all of our liberty after we have died. We are at the mercy of a judge the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. The angels are going to take us to a judgment place. Now, I might be skipping a stay in a certain location, but by the time the great white throne happens, the angels are going to take us to a judgment place. Okay? We lose our liberty once we die. At that judgment, go to Romans 3:19. What else does the Bible tell us? At that judgment, when we stand before Jesus Christ, every person who has not already been forgiven by Jesus, every person not forgiven is going to be found guilty before Jesus. Romans 3:19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Oh. So after death, the angels are going to take me to a judgment. At some point in the future, I am going to go to a judgment. I've lost my liberty. I'm at the mercy of God's angels. Where God's angel takes me, that's where I go. He's a lot bigger and a lot stronger than me. He's going to obey God. I cannot convince him to do what I want him to do. And I'm going to face God at the judgment. The angel's going to take me there. And the Lord Jesus Christ, if I have not been forgiven while I lived, forgiven by Jesus while I lived, the Lord Jesus is going to find me guilty before him. Guilty, a guilty sinner. And then what happens to guilty sinners? Matthew 25, please. Matthew 25. And again, for these verses, I chose the words of Jesus Christ. I didn't go to Paul's writings. I chose the words of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus created this life. He created eternal punishment. He created hell. He created the lake of fire. And he died and he came back. He knows he is the authority on life after death. Okay? Matthew 25, verse 46. This is what Jesus Christ, the authority on life after death, says will happen to every person found guilty before him. Verse 46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. These shall go away into everlasting punishment. But the righteous, now he's referring to those who have been forgiven, had been forgiven before they died, forgiven by Jesus, but the righteous into life eternal. That's the authority on life after death. The very best that governments can do ends at death. After death, you have no liberty. You're at the mercy of the angel. The angel is going to obey God. And the angel is going to do with you what God says to do with you. So is this the very best liberty there is possible in this world? So I can have an average of 70 years of liberty in whatever nation I live in, and thankfully it's America. I can have 70 years of American liberty and under law, America's laws, and then I die, and my liberty is all gone, and I suffer for my sins forever and ever and ever. Is that the best liberty there is to offer? No, because we read the last verse of verse 46. But the righteous into life eternal. The righteous into life eternal. There is another liberty available. A third liberty. Please go with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. A third level of liberty that God offers to mankind. John chapter 3 verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Won't be found guilty by the judge at the judgment seat. But he that believeth not, talking about believing not on Jesus, is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. This is part of what will condemn us. The great awesome fact that Jesus Christ, the light of the world, came into the world. His book is available to mankind. The light's available. And what does the vast majority of the world do? My own thing. Forget about Jesus. Forget about going to church. They'll curse his name and proceed to do their own thing until death. That's part of what God will use to condemn all men. Light has come into the world, and men continued on in their darkness away from the light of Jesus Christ, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil, verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And look at verse 36. Verse 36. The liberty God offers. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Wow. Life lasting forever. Life lasting forever. There's some liberty there. There's some lasting liberty right there. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Oh, there's a great, much greater third level of liberty than this world could ever offer. Everlasting life. Spiritual liberty. Spiritual liberty. You know what the Bible calls this spiritual liberty? Turn to Romans chapter 8, please. The Bible calls this spiritual liberty, one of the phrases it calls it, is the glorious liberty of the children of God. Glorious liberty of the children of God. Spiritual liberty. Romans 8:21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's the liberty God offers. He offers you the liberty to become his child today. This liberty is being set free from the bondage of sin. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. The liberty of God's children is the liberty of God setting me free from my bondage to sin. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What bondage is he specifically referring to? Bondage of sin. The bondage of sin. In this case, he's referring to the bondage of sin in trying to obey the law. But as we saw last week in Romans, trying to obey the law always ends up as me breaking the law. Trying to obey the law always ends up as me being a lawbreaker. That's bondage. That's the bondage of sin. But God says, I offer you real liberty. Liberty apart from being bound to sin. This is the liberty that God, through Jesus Christ, offers you and offers every single person who's ever lived. He offers you forgiveness from sin. He offers you eradication of the debt and guilt of sin. He offers you liberty, real liberty under God and unto God. Look at Romans 8:2. Romans 8:2. He offers you liberty from sin and death. Now, not the physical death. We still, as it is appointed unto men, wants to die. He's not offering us freedom from physical death, necessarily. We might get raptured. We might get raptured. But we still all have to die a physical death. It's the doorway to the eternal. But then he's offering us escape from eternal death in the lake of fire. Escape from that death. Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. You don't have to die in the lake of fire eternally and pay for your own sin if you have Jesus Christ give you forgiveness. If you take the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, you don't have to die forever and pay for your own sin. That's what he's offering you. Liberty from sin, liberty from the bondage of sin, liberty from the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death. And liberty in heaven. Liberty to be in heaven with him for all of eternity. Liberty under and unto God. Now remember, even God doesn't offer us total freedom. Do what you want. Notice Romans 6, verse 18. Christians, I have liberty of conscience. Yes, you do, under God. Yes, you do, under God. Romans 6, 18. Being then made free from sin. Yes, I have freedom. I have freedom of conscience. Ye became the servants of righteousness. We don't have total freedom of conscience. Our conscience is still wicked. Our heart is still wicked. God says, I made you free to serve me. I made you free to do what I want you to do now. That's the freedom God offers. Ye became the servants of righteousness. You are now no longer the servant of sin. You are the servant of a righteous God and his righteousness. Romans 6:22. He repeats it. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Everlasting life. That's the liberty God offers us. Everlasting life in heaven with him. That's lasting liberty. That's why Jesus Christ, go back now to John 8, please. That's why Jesus could say, I offer you freedom to those Jews. I offer you freedom. Yes, you have your own personal freedom. You are your own person. You can go buy your own land. No, your nation isn't free. I offer you real freedom, Jesus told them. John 8:32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What's he referring to? Jesus Christ is truth. He's referring to the truth of himself, the greatest truth of all. He is truth. It's ironic what Pilate asked of truth. Pilate asked of truth, what is truth? Truth was standing before him. The Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, himself, Jesus. And the truth, he shall make you free. Verse 36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. You will have real liberty, lasting liberty through the Son of God. That's the greatest liberty of all. The greatest liberty of all. Believers in Jesus are made free from the bondage, from the servitude to sin. They are eternally set free from the wages of sin. They are made servants of God, servants of righteousness. And we're given everlasting life. Everlasting life. Do you have that freedom? Do you have that liberty? Or the best that you have today is, I'm an American. Well, that's great. A lot of the world wants to be an American too. Most of the world wants to have the freedom you have right now. But what happens after you die? What's going to happen after you die? You aren't going to be an American after you're dead. Did you know that? You are not going to be an American after you've died. You're going to be one of two things, a child of God or a child of the devil. There's no other citizenship any longer. Is all you have in this life American citizenship? Or do you have the citizenship of heaven? Do you have the best liberty there ever was and there ever could be? The liberty that Jesus Christ offers to you. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the liberty, the freedom from sin, the freedom from hellfire, the freedom from paying for my own sins forever and ever and ever. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that this is everlasting life, everlasting life with you in heaven forever and ever and ever. Wow. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this great gift. If there's one here today that does not have this gift, has not accepted this gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, would you please speak to that heart? Father, I pray that you would help us Christians to share this great freedom, this great news of real liberty with others this week. Again, we pray for the track passing out that's going to happen. Lord Jesus, would you please have your will and way in people's hearts and lives this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together, please.